Hey, welcome to the Two Bobs. I'm Rob.
And I'm Robert. You're listening to episode 115 for Monday, November 4th, 2019.
Hey, this week. Fuck, I'm wasting. Yeah. Exciting episode for you tonight. This morning, whenever you're listening to this, it's all relative. We're going to talk about the Nats winning the World Series, the beer we're drinking. Halloween happened, and we got way too much candy on our hands.
Crazy news, we're going to talk about a surprise in your Chinese food, a cat woman,
meow,
a swollen scrotum, some sexy leaves, Olaf from Frozen. Oh. And a couple of Big Macs.
It's going to be highly inappropriate. Enjoy. So I don't know for some reason, I was waiting for the music to play.
Oh, no.
Wait, yeah, we don't actually do that live. You add that in after the fact. I never actually. Oh, fuck.
Yep.
Anyway.
Yeah, no, that's okay. You know how I've been, Rob. I've been on cloud nine. Yeah.
So big news. The World Series is over.
Yeah, finally. I can get some
sleep. The best team won.
The best team did win, Rob. The Washington Nationals.
No, I'm excited.
2019.
As I said in the last episode where I was just absolutely incredibly drunk, I've been rooting vicariously for you guys for the Nationals. And so I was very happy. I stayed up and watched the last two games. So I was up till midnight on Tuesday and Wednesday, rooting for you guys. And so I was probably not as excited as you were, but still very excited for you that the Nationals won. And kind of a funny little tidbit. Now, every starting pitcher from the 2014 Tigers lineup has won the World Series ever since being a Tiger.
Since they left.
Motherfucker. Yeah, since they left.
Yeah, we had two of them. We talked about
we made it to the World Series. We made it to the ACLS a couple times, but son of a bitch.
Yeah. Started to rebuild and let everybody go. But that's how it's gonna happen. You know, this team's, I don't know what's gonna happen. We were just talking about that upstairs a little while ago, that we have a couple of players, Steven Strasburg, who is MVP, signed a long term contract a couple years back, but he's got an opt out this year, so he has 3 days from the end of the World Series to decide. And our kick-ass third baseman Anthony Rendon, Mr. Smooth himself, is up. So they've offered him some money. Hopefully he'll take it. And we'll see what next year brings. Hopefully we don't turn into the Tigers between now and the end of next season, but it's possible.
Tell me. So, but this is the thing though, is you just won the championship. Like, what? Yep. Who in their right mind at this point, even if you have the option to opt out of your contract, who's doing that? Who on the team wants to do that? All right, Grace, it's been great. We won the World Series, and see ya. I'm going to go to a shittier team now. You know, like I feel like probably Rendon and Strasburg are probably. I mean, again, I don't know what's going through their heads, and I haven't monitored the situation that closely, but I would.
Yeah.
I'd think that they probably want to stay on the winning team that just won the championship. Yeah. And, you know, so I hope they do for you guys. Cause you know, if the Tigers suck again next year, I might just have to keep rooting for your team, which I think the good news of the Tigers, but you know, the problem with the Tigers is all they're interested in is pitchers. Like we care about drafting is pitchers, and pitchers are a vital,
a
vital part of the team for sure. They're arguably the most important member of the team, but at the same time, you can have the best pitching in the world, and the Tigers experienced this. We have, you know, at one point we for sure had the best pitching in the league, and you know, but if you don't have people hitting the bat, then having the best pitching doesn't really matter. And so That's my one concern with the Tigers, is they're super interested in drafting pitchers, but not so much all the other, you know, the other positions. And we need some heavy hitters with, you know, Miguel Cabrera 10 years ago was phenomenal. Miguel Cabrera 2019, 2020, and, you know, it's a different situation. He's just not, he's not who who he used to be. And, so that's my major concern, but, we'll see what happens. We have, we had a pitcher, Casey Mize, in our farm system last year, who was just lighting it up in for the Toledo Mud Hens, and I think they'll probably bring him up as one of our starters next year. And I think he's young, and I think he's probably he very well might be the next big pitcher that comes along, and hopefully we can hold on to him and find some bats to back him up. But we'll see. But anyway,
wow,
had a beer, right?
I agree.
Hey, bartender, another beer!
Is that exciting? I have a pretty good one this year. This year. This episode. I mean, it is this year. Still. It is still this year. this episode that I'm having this year, I have a good beer. And I drank one already. As I as I had previously told you, kind of off the record, as I spilled an entire beer on myself while I was eating my dinner tonight. And so I cracked one of these open a little bit early just so I could get a taste, and because I just wanted a beer. And it's pretty good. It's from Old Nation. And Old Nation, it's the Electron Brown Espresso Bean Double Brown Ale. Exactly. It's 8.1% alcohol by volume, 25 IBUs. And this comes in a 16 fluid ounce can. So it's a large can. And
yeah, it's the best kind of can, Rob.
Large cans. Oh, boy. What were you talking about? Beer.
You go right ahead. Shit.
I just want to
Why don't you tell us what you tell us about it.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you all about it. And by the way, Old Nation, I've had Old Nation before, but I've never had on the Two Bobs. And I don't know if you can get it down by you, because it is from Williamston, Michigan. And let me find the fucking page. Man, I'm all over the place. So the Old Nation, our joint effort with the Detroit Draft Divas, a double brown ale with lots of roasted chestnuts steeped in the whirlpool before fermentation, named in memory of Ron Brown, our dearly missed engineer / general problem solver here at Old Nation. This aggressive double brown ale is brewed with chestnuts for a pillowy mouthfeel and finished with a fresh ground espresso beans for a huge coffee aroma and flavor, lightly sweet. I'm going to try it again. I kind of have I already have an inclination of what I'm going to say, but I'll kind of refresh the palate here.
Okay, good. Looks good. The website doesn't say anything about whether I'd be able to get it down here, so I have to check it on my phone, I guess.
Well, I don't know if you've ever had, like, what is it? M43 is another one of theirs. It's an IPA. There's another one called Boss Tweed, which is an IPA of theirs. I want to say that they're kind of known for their IPAs, and those are the two most popular. But I saw this at Mr. Pizza Bootleg today, and it looked pretty good. And it is really good. I rated it 4.25 on Untappd. It has really good flavor. If you like the espresso taste, then you're going to get plenty of espresso in there. I taste a little bit of the chestnut, so you get that roasty flavor along with that. I taste some chocolate as well. They didn't mention it in the anywhere on the website, which I went to rate beer because the website, like you said, doesn't really say anything. But it didn't say anything about chocolate, but I feel like there's some chocolate in there, just a little bit. But definitely a strong espresso flavor, not coffee, but espresso, some roastiness from the chestnut. So really good beer. If you like dark ales, this is a nice one to pick up if you can get it. It's 8.1% alcohol by volume, and it's from our friends of the show, at Old Nation. They don't know we exist, but they're friends.
Well, they should.
It's very good. I had one. This is my second one.
Did you say what you rated it?
Four and a quarter on Untappd.
Okay.
Yeah. It's good. If I see it again, I might have to pick it up.
Yeah.
It's not up there, as you can see behind me now.
Yeah.
I have two bottles of CBS.
Well, that's good. $60 right there. Did Maj give those to you?
Majid wasn't there today. But the other guy who is nameless, I don't know his name. I see him more often.
Bill.
Call him Fred. Fred gave me these. One of them's been here since last year. And this one, let's see if the year is on it.
It might be somewhere, probably on the label. I bet you it is, but it'd be too small for me to read.
They're actually, what's funny is they're both 2018s.
Oh, no.
That's all right.
That's age. Well, I figured still good. I know.
There's only a limited amount of time I'm going to be able to get them, so I figured I'd grab another bottle.
Well, that's why I said. I told Melissa I need to go and actually buy the rest of whatever they have at the Total Wine, because, and maybe Norm's will have it too, but, I mean, once it's gone, it's gone, and I think that beer is so good that it's worth, not obviously spending all your money, but spending a decent amount just so you have some to last you for a little while, because it's kind of a unique taste.
Well, I figure, you know, I'll go out and spend $90 on a bottle of wine, so $30 on the best beer I've ever had.
Yeah.
You know, I rated it a 5 on Untappd, the CBS from Founders, as we're talking about. And if I could have rated it more, I would have. So,
you know. Yeah. No, that's true.
Money well spent.
Let you know if I get some. Perfect. Well, I've got something that's kind of fun, and I grabbed this at Norm's, and I just kind of looking around for something different, because they, even as good as a shop as it is, they still tend to favor the IPAs because that's what people drink. So I always look around for something a little bit different, because if you've ever listened to the episodes, you know that I love an IPA, but I also like to find some of these more, I guess, interesting or more unique stout flavors that you've had. And I happened to grab this one. I thought the can looked cool, and it said it was a stout. But what I've got here, and I can't read it, is the Untitled Art is the name of the brewing company, and it's in a collaboration with Cerebral Brewing.
Oh.
And it's their Chocolate Macaroon Imperial Stout. So basically, I guess it's going to be cookie in a can, but it is 12% alcohol by volume in this 12 fluid ounces. So it's got a pretty hearty punch to it, and that's going to be the Imperial, I guess, adding its own spin to things. But the website doesn't really have a lot. It just says contains coconut and natural flavors. And I see you're sharing your picture that I took, or I guess your screen that I took to my check-in. But again, it's 12.
It's like Inception.
Yeah. Again, it's the Chocolate Macaroon Imperial Stout from Untitled Art. And since the website didn't tell you much other than contains coconut and natural flavors, I'm going to give it a taste and see if I can see if there's anything else in there. I smell the coconut.
Well, that's a step in the right direction.
Yeah. It smells like a cookie. If you open up a fresh pack of cookies and good cookies anyway, you get a whiff of it. That's kind of what this is.
I could really use some cookies right now. Some Girl Scout cookies.
You don't have any more popcorn?
No.
You sell it all?
I don't do that. No. I you know what? For the limited amount of time that I had, I think I did pretty well for him, though.
Yeah. Well, that's good. This beer is, I feel the 12% right away. It does have that boozy taste to it. So it is very strong as far as the alcohol. I taste the coconut and chocolate pretty much right away. I don't really taste anything else. They're pretty overwhelming. This is more of a dessert beer. It is very sweet. It's not too sweet, though. I probably can get through two, and I did bring two down here before I have to just kind of say that's enough. I think if I had the rest of those Snickers bars that I've got upstairs, or if I actually had some cookies or something after dinner, this would be really good. It's also a great podcasting beer, but I highly recommend it. I rated it a 4.25 on Untappd.
Nice.
Which matches your rating for yours. If I saw it again, I would buy some more. I think this was fairly expensive, though. It does come from the Wisconsin area, but if you're ever out there and you're able to find it, Untitled Art Chocolate Macaroon Imperial Stout. 12%
Looks
ABV.
Good. Kind of a cool can.
Yeah, it is.
Very nice. Very nice. Yep. And you can find us on Untappd, which is a social network for beer drinkers, kind of like Facebook for alcoholics. And it's UNTAPPD. And you can find me at Phil Roberts 33. And you're on there too.
I am. I'm available at Robert K 328.
Perfect. All right. So yesterday was Halloween. Well, you know, by the time you're listening to this You know, time is a funny thing because we're recording this on Friday, November 1st. And so yesterday in our time was Halloween. Did you get to play out in the pouring rain like I did?
Well, we lucked out over here in our area where it didn't. They were calling for it to be right pretty much after work. So like 5-6 o'clock, they were saying we were going to get, we had heavy rains, tornado warnings and all that. But luckily it held out until about 7. So the majority of the kids were able to get out and around before the rains really came through. But once they did, they really messed things up around here for sure.
Yeah. What about you? We had the rain and it could have been worse. Like when we first went, when we were driving to we went to my brother-in-law's house and we were driving there, it was raining pretty good. And, but as we were actually trick-or-treating, it wasn't that bad. I mean, that being said, we were out there for a while. So like we were still drenched.
Yeah. You're soaked. Yeah.
But you know, the kids, they had a good time. They got a bunch of candy and, you know, it is what it is. You know, I feel like every year in Michigan, it rains on Halloween. So this is just like par for the course at this point.
Have you been dipping into the candy from the kids, or do you pretty much just leave it for them?
Well, I did last night.
When they go to bed, you start drinking it or eating it, rather.
I drink. I actually ground it up into it with a food processor, and I drank it. No, I mean we drank some. Oh, drank. Damn it! See what you did.
See.
So we did eat some last night, but not a ton because the problem is my sister-in-law is such a good hostess. She had like so much good food. That by the time I got home, like I wasn't really into eating a bunch of candy. So I ate a little bit and then I'll probably end up bringing a bunch to work and leaving it there because there's just so much. Like we filled up this big plastic jug that we have.
Yeah.
And then after that we filled up two bucket. Like there was just so much. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do with all this.
The quickest way to get rid of it is to take it to the office because people have vultures there and it'll be gone.
Well, that's what it'd be like a
carcass in the road.
Well, that was kind of my thought too, was just make it as available to the people at work as possible. Yeah. Oh, there we go. Sorry about that. And so that's what I plan on doing.
Well, take the stuff out of it that's good that you like. Like I completely forgot until we were talking. I didn't even look to see if Ben had any Smarties in his because I really like some Smarties.
Oh man, Smarties!
I've been so focused on the Snickers I forgot Smarties.
Well, there's the Snickers, there's the Reese's. Like to me, there's other candy that has to be tackled before we move on to the Smarties. I'm not a big fan of candy that doesn't have chocolate in it. That's kind of what I realized. I like to have the chocolate.
It has its place. Smarties.
It does. Yeah. It has its place in the universe. Obviously, they've been making it for years. But you know, give me some Reese's or some Snickers, Butterfinger. I think we were talking about Butterfinger a little bit.
Yeah,
yeah, that's some good shit.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, since we're on the topic of food, I figure we'd go ahead and hit our crazy news because we're actually leading off with a food story.
Perfect. Great segue. I better drink some more. So.
I had some Chinese food last night from the Panda Express, although Panda Express didn't rate. And I was going to send you the link to it, but I couldn't get the thing to save for whatever reason. So I just said, fuck it. But Panda Express doesn't rate very highly
Panda Express isn't real Chinese food.
Well, I get the orange chicken, but I don't know whether the rate.
If it is an almond boneless chicken, I'm not interested.
It doesn't rate very highly, though, on the scale of antibiotics in your food. So if you're conscious of that kind of thing, Panda Express is not the place to go, nor is Burger King. The Panda Express, Burger King, Applebee's, I think they rate very poorly for all those sorts of things. So I don't really pay attention. I just put whatever I want in my mouth and it's fine.
That's what she said.
That's right. As she should.
Yeah. And that doesn't
kick her out of the house.
And and that doesn't, that takes us to our next story.
First story, Rob.
Our first story.
This takes us to our
first story, where a couple said they found it.
Fuck, I'm wasted.
Exactly. Oh, God. You found. Good. This drops from last episode. I figure there would be because I gotta tell you, that was something else. That was something else, man. But anyway, this takes us where the UK, where a couple says they found a tooth in their Chinese takeout. A tooth, Robert, a human tooth. Mm.
That's nasty.
To be specific, there was a human tooth in their Chinese takeout. I don't know if it was from Panda Express or not, but...
No, probably not.
Most diners...
Now, this is your story. Don't go getting all yeah, silly
I'm
on
wearing
me.
I'm wearing a Batman hoodie. I don't know if you noticed. Most diners...
What that has to do with the tooth in your Chinese...
Well, I was buying time. Most diners worry about getting food caught in their teeth. However, at one UK Chinese restaurant, you could get a tooth stuck in your food. That's according to Stephanie McDonough, who posted a grotesque Facebook photo Friday showing a human chomper in a dish from Newton Road Cantonese Takeaway. Do not use Newtown. Chinese Worcester, warns a 29-year-old mother from Worcester, England, in the Post. McDonough claims that she and her husband, David Burroughs, 38, were enjoying takeout from the Chinese restaurant in their Warden area home on Friday night when Burroughs spat a hard object onto his plate, reports the Worcester News. They thought it was a bone at first, but it was definitely a tooth, alleges McDonough. We both checked and it wasn't any of ours, said McDonough. Who, I think that's how you say it, McDonough.
Yeah.
Who worry that it could have fallen out of the mouths of one of the restaurant's suppliers. Even grosser, she alleges that the gnasher looked old. It could have seasoned their meal with blood and bacteria. McDonough reportedly phoned the manager.
Looking at her husband, I think it come from him.
A Newtown Cantonese later that night to complain about what could have been. However, the boss denied.
He could use a toothbrush.
Her accusation. She chalked up the Dahmer-esque discovery to a piece of gristle in the pork or something from an onion. McDonough was having it. It's a fucking tooth, she wrote in the Facebook post, despite her protests that exasperated diner. That's what I meant to say. Was only reimbursed
the masturbated diner.
6.30 pounds, approximately $8.10 US dollars for the contaminated curry, and not the 17.70 pounds for the whole meal. She filed a complaint with the Food Standards Agency National Food Crime Unit. Was that her? McDonough.
Yeah, look right here.
Hold on, let me. Oh, man, if you look at the husband's teeth, it looks like, I'm just saying. He's got one of those classic UK mouths of teeth. Like, they don't brush their teeth there. I don't understand.
No toothpaste.
So she filed a complaint, Robert, with the Food Standards Agency National Food Crime Unit, and eventually, even allegedly, has the tooth and curry cling wrapped in her freezer like a homemade evidence locker. Ew. Worcestershire Regulatory Service. I hate reading stories from the UK because they have so many fucking weird words.
Can never tell.
Worcestershire. Right? Yeah. Regulatory services inspectors are investigating the incident and will visit Newtown, Cantonese soon. A city council spokesman told the Worcester News.
I'm not done yet. Oh, okay.
Fortunately, I'm
staring at the tooth here.
The Facebook commentariat emphasizes that her Temple of Doom-esque dinner disaster, posting responses such as OMG, that's shocking, and phone environmental health. One joke that she should put the tooth under a pillow and get some money from the McDonald's.
Now, this is not one of those where it's like your kid loses a tooth and it's one of those flat ones. This is like a full molar.
Yeah.
This is the big, thick, like quadricep, big four-sided giant tooth.
Quadricep.
That's Yeah, I don't know. Quiet. He's got four sides.
It's a molar. It's a big tooth. It's not, and like, yeah. It looks like almost mummified, though. Like, it really came out. Like, and the roots are still there, too. Like, the tooth and the roots, and it's mummified. Like, it's been there a really long time.
You might have said this in the story, so sorry for not listening, because I've been staring at this tooth, and then I'm staring at her husband's black teeth. To me. Her black teeth, but... did this actually get into their mouth? Like, when you eat some food and you're out there and you bite into it, and you're like, ooh, there's kind of like some gristle in the chicken.
Yeah,
spit it out. You spit it into your napkin. Did this tooth actually make its way into their mouth and they had to spit it out? Did it just show up on the spoon?
No, it actually says that they
I should listen.
they thought it was a bone. And
they had the part where they thought it was... it was part of the food, but I didn't know that it actually went in their mouth.
Let's see.
That's like when you're eating something and you realize that there's a hair in there.
No, it says right here. So Burroughs, the husband with the bad teeth, spat a hard object onto his plate. So he had it in his mouth.
Oh, nasty. That's gross.
Man.
Yeah, that would make me sick. Like when you pull the hair out and you're bald and you say, I don't have hair like this.
Yeah, that's pretty fucking gross.
Pull the hair
gross.
Out of your mouth at Panera.
No, you're right. Yeah, that's pretty gross. You shouldn't put human teeth or hair in your mouth.
Now, is the long hair worse than the tooth, or is a tooth worse than like a long stringy black hair?
The tooth is way worse.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I agree with you there.
Although the hair sucks too, because I've had. Like when you pull it out, you're just like this hair. Part of the hair was just in my throat. Like it went down my esophagus, and it was still coming out of my mouth. So that's pretty fucking gross too. Yeah. But I think at the end of the day, I'd rather have a hair than a tooth.
You pull it, and it's like the clowns getting out of the car. The hair just keeps coming.
Yeah, it's
it's gross. And it's pitch black. You know, nobody in your house has a pitch black hair.
Well, that's
hair,
the thing. Like, if it was like a blonde hair that was like clearly Kelly's, I'd be like, all right. Well, her hair gets all over the place to begin with. She's got like some thick hair. She has the exact opposite kind of hair that I have. And and so, like,
you and me both.
So that doesn't really bother me. Like, some of Kelly's hair, but like, you pull it out and it's like some. Like dark colored hair, and I'm like, I have nobody in my house with dark hair that's that long, and you just know there's a stranger's hair follicle is just in your mouth.
That's gross. I'm gonna need to rinse my mouth out with the rest of this beer.
Well, I'm pouring another one from another Electron Brown. I got a 4-pack, and might as well work on another one here. Oh, yeah, shut.
Well, since you only.
Since you spilled
one upstairs, now you spilled one down here.
God damn it. Luckily, I keep a roll of paper. No, it's there. It's on the table. Not very much, but enough where I'm irritated right now.
All right. Well, I'll pour this, and then I'll start our next story.
Yeah, we should do that.
Since you got a bit of a cleanup job to do.
I just can't fucking help but make ridiculous messes with my beer tonight.
You're gonna have to lower the rating on that one and get people just kind of like warn them not to buy that if it's gonna explode everywhere twice.
It is a very, I will say, it has a really thick head. It's a very carbonated beer. I will say that. But still, I mean, it's my fault. I poured it too fast. I got impatient. This is one like you gotta pour it. You gotta really caress the pour.
Yeah.
Or else. Yeah. You'll make a mess, and I just didn't feel like spending that much time pouring the beer tonight. Yeah.
All right. Our next one, I thought this honestly when you sent this to me, I thought
God
based
damn it,
on
I
the
just
type
did
of
it again. Motherfuck. God damn it. God damn it.
So I thought this one for sure would have to be from the UK.
God damn it.
But it's not.
Fuck. God damn it.
Exactly. Pretty much any story we've ever had has been from somewhere overseas. And I kid you not, I went through this and I look specifically because I was betting myself $100 million that this was UK and it's not. But this one comes from our friends at the New York Post. And the title of the article says, "My girlfriend lives life as a kitty cat,
yes,
and I'm her master."
He's a good boy. He's a good boy.
Wow, so many drops from last week. So many drops.
He's a good boy.
This guy has a kitty case of cat scratch fever. Rob Berg, 52, an aerospace engineer from Colorado, is head over kitten heels for a woman who identifies as feline. "You're being so shy," he says with a giggle as his real-life cat woman, cat with a K, Lyons, L-Y-O-N-S, laps up a bowl of milk while perched atop the kitchen table.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Oh, she looks good on the kitchen table. That's real cute, he said.
She always lands on her feet, too, when he pushes her off.
That's right.
Sorry, go ahead. The
self-proclaimed sci-fi geek met Lyons, 31, at Comic-Con 8 months ago. Hopefully he's been up to date on his shots. That he soon discovered it. She works at Catgirl Manor, a club in Colorado Springs, Colorado, that hosts pet play for BDSM events. Alexa, what is BDSM?
BDSM is a variety of often erotic practices or role-playing involving bondage, discipline, dominance and submission, sadomasochism, and other related interpersonal dynamics. Given the wide range of practices, some of which may be engaged in by people who do not consider themselves as practicing BDSM, inclusion in the BDSM community or subculture is usually dependent upon self-identification and shared experience.
Wrong.
Did that answer your question?
It sure did.
When can Alexa, when Thanks can Samuel L. Jackson answer our questions?
I don't know that one.
Of course. Instead of clutching his imaginary pearls, Rob grabbed a leash to be experimental and try new things.
I don't like his name.
I need to go to Comic-Con. This is the same as cosplayers. People do what they like to do, he says in a short film produced by Barcroft Studios, admitting that the BDSM element was something new for him and never had anything so much on the kitten side of dressing up. He adds, as he stitches an old Jon Snow costume on his sewing machine. Kat, however, said she's been into the pussycat roleplay her entire life. "I've always been different," she purrs. "I've always had a fascination with cats. People are like, you're not really a cat, but I feel like I am, though. I am a cat."
She is a cat.
Yeah. The perfect couple says they face plenty of societal judgment, and I have no idea why. Not just for getting it on like cats, but their age gap. They are committed to fostering a loving relationship. See, I didn't even listen to myself. I said he was, I knew he was in his 50s. So it's 20 years difference. Huh? She's 31. He's 52. That's fine. I get the negative stuff, Kat says. It's just not accepted by a lot of people. Still, she said that expressing her true identity has brought her closer to Rob and has enabled her to blossom into her true self. The struggle of being a cat girl is keeping your ears up perfectly, Kat says, while perusing her collection of cat ears, tails, and leashes and collars. "This is not just dress up for me. It's an everyday thing." She claims she realized she was a cat as she was bullied as a teen in high school, but decided to embrace her kitty identity when she discovered Cat Girl Manor and met others who identified as cats. This club's got a Facebook group, so I'm going to open that in a new tab. "I grew up and had to pretend to be normal, you know? But now I get to be myself. I'm a kitten, and if I want to climb on something, I can. If I want to drink out of a little bowl, I can do that too." Kat tears up as she says Rob's acceptance of her alternative lifestyle is sometimes overwhelming.
It's important.
However, her human admits that he's not totally comfortable with the master side and playing a more dominant role. Unlike most cats, Kat enjoys taking on a mostly submissive role and is not just about kinky kitten sex. "When I first got into pet play, I just felt a sense of home. It was just me. I've always felt like a cat. When I'm in my kitten mode, I'm happy."
Well, that's fucked up, Robert.
Well, that's interesting. And again, they do have a Facebook group. So I opened it up in this. Oh my goodness. I'm going to share my screen here.
Oh, look at that.
Wow. It's a shopping cart. That's not.
It's true. These, yeah, that's interesting. There's 20 something thousand people in that group too.
28,000. I thought I saw. Uh-oh.
Oh, look at that.
Where's the rest of her?
Oh boy.
Well, that's a good one. That one was interesting. I do have to admit.
Hey, Robert.
Oh, they just accepted my request.
Oh, thank God. Now you're part of their community. Enjoy.
Yep.
Why did I get this? You did this on purpose, didn't you?
Did I?
No, you do. You always give me this the fucking news stories about penises and testicles and. All right, here we go. Next.
Hey, come here. Come here, Fen.
He's a good boy. Fuck, I'm wasted.
He's a good boy. He's a good boy.
Oh, shit. I had a feeling this was going to happen. So
we were cracking up. tell us about this one.
It's from The Sun in the UK. And this is titled, Oh Balls.
Shit there.
Oh Balls. Man left unable to walk after a scrotum swelled so big it hung below his knees and began rotting. Oh, God. Rotting genitalia. A man was left unable to walk after a scrotum swelled so big it hung below his knees and began rotting, as I had just pointed out a minute ago. The 43-year-old, who hadn't been to see a doctor in around 30 years, who goes 30 years, and went to A&E, in Panama, suffering with a fever. Dude, I love the fucking like x-ray here. Shows this guy's testicle is just literally below his knees. Docs carried out an examination where they discovered the massive swelling hanging below beyond his knees. He relied on a walker to walk, and his mom attended to most of his daily needs, according to medics detailing the case and urology case reports. The skin was thickened and there were two open wounds with foul. I remember that Stan's dad in South Park when he, what am I saying? Two open wounds with foul-smelling pussy liquid at the bottom of his left scrotum. Medics said a CT scan of his abdomen. I'm just trying to remove myself emotionally from the story and just read the words and try not to think about what they actually mean. And pelvis revealed that he had a massive inguinal hernia. Inguinal. Hernia.
It's a picture.
Containing part of his bowel. Fluid had collected in the bottom left half of his scrotum, and he had suffered severe swelling in one of his kidneys due to a buildup of urine. Doctors were also worried about the fact that the flesh was starting to rot. Yep. And he was rushed for emergency surgery, as he should have been. In the operating theater, they removed the infected skin and tissue, but found that he had a further open wound under the skin that was rotting. Fuck you. They attempted to place a catheter, but it proved to be difficult due to a buried penis. they were eventually successful. After carrying out a dorsal slit procedure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good. Boy, they slit his dorsal.
That's what I was going to suggest.
A dorsal slit. Yeah, that's what any medical professional would recommend in this particular case. The next day, the patient was...
DTB-115.
Dorsal slit procedure.
Dorsal.
Son of a bitch. The patient was brought back into a theater so docs could remove more of the dead flesh. Over the next 5 days, he remained in hospital with antibiotics. Probably a good idea. Via an IV line. Medics said in the report
His wound appeared to be improving, but dressing changes and wound vacuum were too painful. I made the decision to carry out.
That's something you use in everyday conversation.
To carry out. No, you don't. You don't. I mean, when did you have a wound vacuum? I don't remember ever having one. So they made the decision, Robert, to carry out major surgery to remove his scrotum. They said, you know what? It was just got to go. And repair his hernia, the hydrocele, the medical term for the type of swelling in the scrotum, measured up to, I'm just going to say this in U.S. terms, 7 pounds, and was 12 inches by 10 inches by 5 inches. So it was a foot by 10 inches by 5 inches in size. On his 8th day in the hospital, the man was taken back to the operating room for plastic surgery.
Oh, good.
There's another couple paragraphs here. He had split thickness graft. He had a split thickness graft for his penis and primary closure of the perineum. 2 days later, he was discharged. Which was a lot of discharge.
Don't say discharge.
To a rehabilitation facility, and was seen 4 weeks later, where docs found he was healing well. There's a space there in healing. So I read it just like it said. In concluding the case, the medics said with this treatment plan, initial debridement, followed by a staged repair on day 3 and day 8, the patient was spared prolonged wound care, painful dressing changes without sacrificing cosmetic and functional outcomes. So he doesn't have a nutsack anymore, but, you know, at least he's not going to die of a rotting testicles. Great. So what's the next story, Robert?
The x-ray really tells the whole story. You didn't have to.
This is just the fun part of the.
Oh, man. Well, every now and then we come across another crazy bastard who does something stupid and gets caught. This one's going to take us to Metro, which is also in the UK. And I told you all the weird shit happens over there, where a man was filmed trying to have sex with a pile of leaves in a public car park.
Oh.
Yep. Or a pub car park. I guess it was a parking lot at a pub. He was out there banging a pile of leaves. Which isn't the public. Yeah, it's all the same things. A drunk man filmed thrusting at a pile of leaves with his trousers around his ankles has been jailed for 8 weeks.
Fucking leaves. That's great.
Michael Golsorski, 26, abandoned the missionary position and scuttled away into nearby bushes after Premier Inn staff shouted at him to clear off. He remained hidden for 10 minutes. Probably had to finish before sheepishly emerging when police arrived at the hotel in Stockport, Greater Manchester, shortly before 8 p.m. Golsorki told officers he was mortified by the lewd act, which took place in a car park outside a beefeater pub. Oh, boy. Where families were eating, having consumed
a beefeater pub.
Right. Having consumed a cocktail of booze, cannabis, and cocaine. Mobile phone footage of him apparently trying to have sex with the pile of leaves was shown at Stockport Magistrates Court, where he admitted outraging public decency and possessing of cannabis. They don't have a video of it, thankfully.
That's too bad.
Magistrate Edward Tasker said, "Think about your life. Make sure you go out and seek help. Unfortunately for you, it is you who have found yourself in this position." In a statement read to the court, an unnamed hotel worker described how they and a colleague became aware of a male acting suspiciously in the hotel car park. "We saw a white male with his trousers down and we could see his bum."
Oh.
Yeah. "There was nothing between me and this male." Yep. "He's about a car length away from me and he had appeared to be having sex. At one stage, I shouted to him, 'What are you doing, you dirty bastard?' And he then leapt up, pulled his trousers up, and sat in the bushes."
Oh.
Yep. exactly how he sounded, too. Staff from the hotel did ask if he was all right, but he was quite a terrible state. He has no recollection of the behavior described. It's probably because of the cocaine. Unsurprisingly, this is related to some information. He took drugs ranging from cocaine to cannabis and alcohol.
Oh, all at the same time, too, probably.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's good to stack those things.
Yeah.
When he was interviewed, he was mortified at the suggestion of what had happened. Only when piecing together information was he accepting of that. That is the state of events. He cannot explain his behavior. He's entirely embarrassed. It's not something that has been brought before the court before. And this is no fault of anyone except the defendant. As a result of the embarrassment, he has no desire to return to the Premier Inn.
He doesn't want to show his face or his dick right. or his ass his there anymore.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, great. Now that we're on the subject of inanimate, fucking inanimate objects.
Let's go to Walmart, Rob.
Let's go to
in Florida.
Let's go to Florida.
Oh, my goodness.
Where this website won't load properly.
Here we go.
God damn it.
Exactly.
Where a man was arrested for having sex with a stuffed Olaf at Target. If you've ever seen the movie Frozen, the Disney movie Frozen.
He's a good boy.
There's an animated, quite hilarious snowman named Olaf. And I haven't found Olaf to be particularly sexually attractive. But this guy here who looks like a reincarnated Charles Manson apparently did. Takes us to St. Petersburg, where a Florida man was arrested Tuesday after being caught have sex with a stuffed animal inside Target.
Oh, nope.
They didn't conjugate the verb.
No. No. Well, it's written in Florida, Rob.
Yeah.
So they're not going to
have sex. Being caught having sex with a stuffed animal inside Target. Witnesses told police they saw Cody Meter, 20, take a large Olaf from the frozen off store shelves at St. Petersburg location and began to dry hump the toy. The police report claims Meter ejaculated. Oh, God. So he came to fruition.
Who needs leaves when you have Olaf?
Fruition on the Olaf is probably soft. I bet. Would you rather fuck an Olaf or a pile of leaves? Probably the Olaf, right?
Well, the leaves might have been damp, Rob. That's a big consideration.
Yeah, but they'd be cold.
Had some rain on them.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd still probably fuck Olaf. So Robert, he ejaculated on the Olaf doll.
Yeah.
And he put it back. He put it back on the shelf before he selected a large unicorn stuffed animal. And guess what he did? He began to have sex with that object as well. He began to fuck the unicorn. Magical creature. Meter was taken into custody while in the store and admitted.
He definitely is 20 if he's able to do all that.
Admitted to doing, if you can fuck an Olaf and then immediately try to fuck a unicorn. you're talented. You got talent. Fuck, I'm wasted. Admitted to doing stupid stuff. He was arrested and charged with criminal mischief. And Olaf.
Oh, that's all it was.
Olaf and the unicorn stuffed animals. You'll be happy to know this. They were removed from the store, and they were destroyed.
I would hope so.
Sold this.
Oh, they man.
Were donated to this Purple Heart Smoking Gun Reports.
That's right. Put it out on the porch. They'll pick it up.
Robert, I got to pee again.
Get those fuckers to quit calling here, asking for me to push it out of my porch.
Now, there's only one more story, but I feel like I have to use the restroom immediately.
You got
to
go?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll hold.
I'll be right back. And then you can read the last story from our friends at the World News Daily Report.
You are fake news.
Exactly. I'm not fake news. Fuck you, Trump. Hold on. I'm mending my chair real quick.
Y'all better now?
I feel much better. Thank you.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So where are we going now?
Well, our last story is going to take us to Kentucky.
Oh, boy.
And I'll preface this story by, because this takes place in a McDonald's, but Melissa and I both worked from home today, and she was walking around lunchtime trying to figure out what we were going to eat. And I said, are you going to run out to the McDonald's and fetch me a McRib? And she said, no.
Oh, that's weird.
I really want a McRib. And I, you know what? And I said, if you're going to get me the McRib, I would like a side of Filet-O-Fish with it. I just feel like having those two together is probably a delicious combination.
Nice.
Two separate sandwiches, though. I wasn't really going to mix them, like stack them or anything. Or I'd have like a slab of McRib and then a slab of fish sandwich on top. That half slice of American cheese.
That sounds delicious. Sometimes you can for an extra charge, you can upgrade to a full slice of cheese.
Oh man, that's a good upcharge, I guess. But this one again takes us to McDonald's in Kentucky, where a woman who gave, and this is from our friends at World News Daily Report, if that matters, where a woman gave birth to a 22-pound baby in a McDonald's restroom, and then she named the little guy Big Mac.
That's a huge baby, too, in the picture.
Yep. A Kentucky woman unexpectedly gave birth in the bathroom of a McDonald's without showing any symptoms before delivering. Nice. She thought it was gas. The Bowling Green couple had surprise of their life.
Surprise.
After 23-year-old Brandy White came back from the woman's restroom with a newborn baby. White said it took her several minutes before she realized what was happening to her. I had just eaten 6 Big Macs, 2 orders of large fries, a dozen chicken nuggets, and drank a 30-ounce soda, so I thought I was just taking a dump. White told reporters.
Can you imagine your spouse saying, hey, I got to go take a shit, I'll be right back, and then come be back with a baby?
That's right. Congratulations, you're a dad.
Lucky kid.
I was still chewing on my Big Mac when I started to feel contractions. It's the first name that came to my mind, and Jaden loved it, White told reporters. Yep. Brandy's husband, Jaden White, is also a janitor at the McDonald's restaurant where he's been working for 12 years now. This is where Brandy and I met 12 years ago. We come here every day, be it for coffee, breakfast, or a romantic dinner.
God damn it.
This is a shillelagh. This is also where I knew. No idea what that
is. So a shillelagh is an instrument or a tool used by like sheep herders. You can
use that for Finnegan.
You can hit people with it. I don't know what you do with it. It's from Ireland, though. This particular shillelagh is actually from Ireland. I have two of them. I have another shillelagh as well.
It looks like it's made out of like a cardboard toilet paper roll with some black tape around
it. This is made out of one solid piece of wood. It's a stick or a twig from a tree.
Yeah.
And then a attached to a thicker piece of wood.
Alexa, what's a shillelagh? Perfect.
You should ask her again.
Alexa, what is a shillelagh?
The noun shillelagh is usually defined as a cudgel, traditionally of blackthorn or oak.
This is
cool.
This is a cudgel made out of blackthorn. Now, this particular one, I don't know if it's made out of blackthorn or oak. Hard to say.
Well, let me finish my story and we'll talk about your shillelagh.
Finnegan likes to try to eat it, though.
Oh, no.
He's a good boy.
This is where Brandy and I met 12 years ago. We come here every day for coffee, breakfast, or a romantic dinner.
McDonald's?
This is also where I proposed.
What the
This is fuck? Also where he works there. This is also where I proposed to her 6 years ago. So McDonald's is definitely a family tradition, he adds with a hint of pride.
You got to cut these so the turtles don't choke on
the turtles don't.
It doesn't
get on the straw.
Yeah.
Brandy White also admitted that she feared her baby might have some form of injury from falling into the toilet bowl, but the doctors reassured her after a thorough medical examination that her 22-pound boy was healthy and well.
Oh, thank God.
He's full of Big Macs, but otherwise he was fine. McDonald's franchise owner Kern Douglas, after learning the wonderful news, generously offered the couple a lifetime supply of unlimited soda drink refills as a gift to celebrate the arrival.
Fuck this soda drink refills. McDonald's does have really good new pops. Family member.
Yeah. Well, you know why? They have a special way that they treat the syrup and the water that goes into it. Yeah. It's all special treated, and nobody else has that. That's why. Exactly. It's a known fact. If you Google it, why does McDonald's have the best pop or best Coke? They'll tell you. They'll give you the secret.
You called it pop. You called the soda.
I did
pop.
Because I wanted you to understand what I was talking about.
You translated it into my language.
Right. Right. I wanted you to understand. In your state. Funny.
In the state of Michigan, we call soda pop. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, shit, that's it. That's World News Daily Report. That means it's the end.
Great. 22-pound baby. She didn't even know she was pregnant. She had 6 Big Macs, thought she had to shit.
She probably did at the same time. Oh, so when he fell down into that water, it wasn't clean.
Great. Great stories from World News Daily Report.
They feel like it was great news stories for everywhere.
Yeah. It
every story today was important.
It was great. It was all life-changing shit. For example, some other things you can catch at World News Daily Report is the Chinese immigrant who sold hot dogs made with real dog meat.
And the Texas surgeon arrested for stealing testicles from at least 46 anesthetized patients. Wow. And one of them was a giant 32-pound scrotum he took it from, Rob.
Or
he knew he could keep that one.
The Purina employee arrested for stealing and eating over $30,000 of dog biscuits. Let me ask you, have you ever eaten a dog biscuit?
So many moons ago, I had a friend of mine that used to eat them on the regular, and I tried it. I took a bite of it, and it tasted like nothing, and I left it at that.
Wait,
I never had another one.
You had a friend who actually on the regular ate them?
He would eat, yeah, well, because he said, look, my dog can eat anything, and what he eats is fine, so he would eat them. This was in high, he was a kid.
What the fuck? So, as a joke, when Finnegan was a puppy, because he used to, now he gets the larger ones, but he got the tiny little biscuits, and as a joke to the kids, I ate one once, and it was absolutely disgusting.
Now, was it one of the flavor, the milk bones?
It was the milk bones. I don't know if it was the chicken or the lamb or the beef or what. It was pretty gross, though.
Well, they had the box that has the multiple color ones in there.
No, that's what we got. Yeah, that's what we had.
Okay. So I just was curious if it had any real flavor to it, if it was just all bullshit. It was just,
you know what?
Coloring.
I don't know. It was disgusting so much that I just couldn't even comprehend the actual flavor profile in the biscuit, so I couldn't tell you. Did you hear about the man who was locked inside a supermarket, which appears to be a Kroger according to the thumbnail, and he eats $8,000 worth of food?
Or the 124-year-old woman who claims the secret to her longevity is drinking sperm on a daily basis.
Yeah, that's what you do, isn't it?
I will live nowhere close to 124 years.
No, you're probably...
I have that on good authority.
Like 100 years, like 200 years.
Maybe. Well, shit, that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
We got 115 in.
Look at that.
You know, Melissa asked me the other day, it was Halloween. She said, you know that Halloween was the first time that you and Rob ever spoke. So for those, we haven't told the story in ages, but we've been doing this now almost 3 years.
Yeah.
Even though the numbers don't add up because, you know, shit happens. We've got young kids. We miss them. But we're almost at 3 years. We started in January almost 3 years ago. And she said, you know, the first time that you spoke to him, because you called me or you left me a message and you said, you know what, if we're going to be talking at any point on the regular, we got to at least know what each other sounds like.
Yeah.
And she said that was on Halloween night, so that would have been yesterday.
No shit.
Yep, she remembers that kind of stuff. That's why I keep her around, because I forget.
Wow, little piece of Two Bob's trivia, because I couldn't tell you that. I just remember that, like, at one point I told Kelly, I'm like, I'm gonna do a podcast, and she was like, what? I'm like, yeah.
The fuck are you
talking
about?
What are you going to talk about? I'm like, I don't know. Like iPhones and shit. I don't like. I'm like, I you know, because it was, we had really,
We had no clue what the podcast was going to be. We just knew, like, we're going to make a podcast, and it's going to be fun.
It's going to be great.
And we're going to... But neither of us really had any idea what we were going to talk about, other than the fact that we met on an online community that was like kind of centered on Apple products, and we're both, you know, big, like, there's a reason, like...
Nerds.
Yeah. Huh.
But yeah, when we figured we would just talk about, and we would look for random stories, and they weren't like crazy news stories. They're just random stuff to talk about. And then at some point we ended up with, I think it was World News Daily Report. Did you just thumbs down that?
Yeah.
We ended up on the crazy news, and then it turned out like, well, let's do more of these. And the beer started a couple episodes in, yeah, so it was just funny.
We thought that at some point we figured out the magic formula was introducing alcohol into the podcast.
Yeah. We did it early on, but I'm such a, you know, not, I don't know the exact word, but it was just, it wasn't as wild and crazy as it gets now, so. It's a lot more fun these days, but I like the crazy news. I like doing them every week. So we're almost at that 3-year point, which is kind of funny when you look back at it and all the places we've been over the years. And so anyhow, it's been a fun ride so far. I'm looking forward to the next year, and we'll actually hopefully at some point in this next year actually be in the same room. We've never been in the same room.
No, much less the same state. That's the funny thing. You know, thank God the internet exists these days, because I'm like, you know, like, I'm like,
porn.
One of my closest friends is a guy I've never actually met before.
How does that happen?
I don't know. That's weird.
It's like pen pals.
Weird. We're weird.
Well, you're going to have to get upstairs and fix this mess that your wife's got.
Kelly said my dick is broken. For the record, it's not. And no,
that's not what's broken, Rob.
Her vagina is fine as well. The mopping didn't break her vagina. First, and for the record, I mopped the first time. She just had to go over it again because she still smelled all the beer. Oh, boy. Oh, we got to do a recap, huh?
Oh. Well, we'll see you next week.
There's an X-ray image for you. So we should like have some sort of sign off. As always, you can find us on all the social things at Two Bobs Podcast. We have a phone number, 82.
I noticed that you had a phone number.
530-882-530-882
Bobs, which is 530-882-2627.
There it is. And that's about it.
Scene.
Yeah, call us and news phone took pic of his non-broken. Oh god. So well, I gotta stay away from my phone right now. I gotta do the recap. So we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. This preceding show is brought to you with joy by the Two Bobs. No words of their own. Not of anybody else in the world, because nobody else would fucking own up to this shit. And you can subscribe to our podcast or just go to the fucking twobobs.com, stop being a little bitch, and just own up and do it. Oh, hi.
Hi, Bob K.
Oh, hold on. Somebody wants to say hi to you. Here.
You're in kindergarten, right?
Yeah.
That's good. You like it?
Yeah.
Oh, no. That must be Big Brother.
Yeah.
He's not in kindergarten, right?
No, he's in fourth grade.
Fourth grade?
Yeah.
Ooh, he's big. He's a big boy. You'll be in fourth grade one time. How many more years until you're in fourth grade, do you think?
A lot of years.
Four.
I think 100.
Oh, that's almost as old as Mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's way up there, isn't she?
Yes.
Yeah. Is Dad older or Mom older?
I think my mom is.
Mom's older.
This is not a toy.
Here's Colin hanging out behind me in his underwear.
Mr. Continent!
No, that's George. Bob K's chicken's name is George.
Give me that. And this is Mr. Tag Buddy.
There we go.
Well, that was fun.
All right, kids, say bye to Bob K.
Bye, Bob K.
Bye-bye.
See you next time.
Bye-bye, buddy.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, kiddos. Excuse me, cocking those guys with me. All right. Finnegan, Colin, Harrison, off you go. It's podcast time, and Daddy swears a lot, so you gotta go.
You're gonna swear to Bob K?
I swear at him all the time. It's fine.
Grown-ups. He deserves it.
You're gonna start your podcast?
Mr. Cockiness says, get the heck out of here.
But my Mr. Cockiness, come on,
Finn. Oh, yeah, take the good boy with you.
Come on.
Hold on. Can you shut that door behind you?
Are you going to do podcast now?
I am going to do podcast now.
All right. Have a good time.
All right. Thank you. All right. Sorry.
That's fine.
They happened to be down here. I said, do you want to say hi to Bob K? And Harrison was all about it.
Good.
Yeah. It's very exciting.